Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the Q&A session, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one on your phone. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Dr. Anita Banerjee. You may begin.
Good afternoon. I'm Anita Banerjee, and I'm one of the seven program directors managing the program Formal Methods in the Field, or FMITF. Other program directors attending today's webinar are Nina Amla, Dan Cosley, Darlene Fischer, Sammy Khan, and Wenqing Wong. We are delighted to have with us Dr. Erwin Gyantendany, Deputy Assistant Director of Science, who will provide opening remarks, following which I'll give a brief overview of the program and some of the most important things you need to know about submitting a proposal. After the overview, we will be happy to take questions.
Thanks very much, Anindya, and good afternoon, everyone. As Anindya mentioned, I'm Erwin Gyantendany. I'm the Deputy for the Computer and Information Science and Engineering Directorate here at the National Science Foundation. And on behalf of Anindya and the rest of the program officer team, as well as all of my colleagues inside and at NSF, it's my pleasure to welcome you to this webinar this afternoon focused on formal methods in the field. I wanted to take a moment at the outset to really express my own personal enthusiasm and excitement, and I think the collective excitement that we all share in SCIES and the CCF Division, Computer and Communication Foundations, and in all of our divisions in SCIES for this program solicitation that we're kicking off this year. This solicitation continues a strong tradition that SCIES has had over the course of the last several years of bringing together theoretical computer scientists with researchers in the field, quote-unquote, as we've been describing it. Some of you know SCIES has supported the Algorithms in the Field program for a number of years until this last year. And so Formal Methods in the Field really continues in that tradition. With Formal Methods in the Field, we are particularly excited about being able to solicit proposals that advance general theories, principles, and methodologies that go beyond specific program and problem instances. Formal Methods in the Field really is trying to seek to support proposals that make strong advances in both the fundamental areas of formal methods as well as in the application areas to which the formal methods are being deployed. And you'll notice in this year's solicitation, and India will talk about in just a few moments, we have called attention to specific application areas for this particular competition, and we will see how things progress in the future years as well. We really believe that this continuous bi-directional collaboration between researchers from formal methods and researchers in various field areas is critical, ultimately, in order to be able to ensure the reliability and the resilience of the systems that we develop and really at all levels of the computing and information environment. I think if there's anything that I want to leave you with, it's that we really are looking for proposals that are going to be very ambitious. We're looking for proposals that are going to think big about how we bring the formal methods community together with these various field areas that we've called out in this year's competition. I want to acknowledge the program officer team, without whom we wouldn't be here today, especially Anindya as well as Nina Amla, but also the rest of the team across all of SCIES, including Saul Greenspan, Sami Khan, Darlene Fischer, Dan Cosley, and Wenqing Wong, many of whom are going to be here this afternoon as well to help field some of the questions that come up. Again, this is the team that is the inspiration behind this program, and this is the team that's going to be helping to carry it forward and carry your ideas forward as well over the course of the coming months. So with that, I'm going to turn things over to Anindya, back to Anindya to talk through the details. But again, just want to communicate our excitement and enthusiasm for this program and just how much we're looking forward to proposals from the community, from all of you, that really bring together formal methods and the various field areas that we've called out for this year. So in India, absolutely.
Thank you, Erwin. Here is the agenda for today's presentation. I'll start with a brief overview of the FMITF program. Next, I'll cover some important aspects of the solicitation, including the types of awards to be made, submission requirements, and of course the deadline. I'll cover a few frequently asked questions, and finally, I'll invite further questions from the audience and answer them with help from my colleagues. One of the inspirations of the FMITF program is this quote from Robin Miller's double thesis that the design of computing systems can only properly succeed if it is well grounded in theory, and that the important concepts in a theory can only emerge through protracted exposure to applications. Two LSF workshops held in 2012 and 2015 echo this important point and emphasize the urgent need for rigorous formal methods in systematic and reliable system design. The FMITF program aims to bring together researchers from different communities to jointly develop rigorous and reproducible methodologies for designing and implementing systems and applications with provable correctness guarantees. We hope that these collaborations result in both new formal methods that are inspired by practical problems and find novel, unanticipated applications of existing formal methods that can be validated in the field. For the purposes of this solicitation, formal methods is defined broadly as principled approaches based on mathematics and logic, and includes modeling, specification, design, analysis, verification, synthesis, and programming language-based approaches. More informally, this would include work that would be in scope in conferences like CAV, POPL, TACAS, PLDI, VMCAI, FMCAD, etc. The field, again for the purposes of this solicitation, is defined as a subset of areas within computer and information science and engineering that currently do not benefit from having established communities already developing and applying formal methods in their research. Initially, the program will limit the field to these four areas that stand to directly benefit from a grounding in formal methods: computer networks, cyber-human systems, machine learning, and operating and distributed systems. However, other fields may emerge as priority areas for the program in future years, subject to the availability of funds. Here are some highlights from the FMITF solicitation. Please note that while I'm spotlighting key pieces of information you need to know in order to submit a proposal, this is not a substitute for reading the full solicitation. You can easily find the solicitation by using the search string NSF space FMITF. Proposals are due May 8th. We expect to make around 8 awards, each up to $1 million, for a duration of up to 4 years, subject to availability of funds. Please note, an investigator may only serve as PI, co-PI, or senior personnel on one proposal submitted to FMITF. FMITF proposals are expected to contain the following information. First, all proposals must include one or more keywords that correspond to the field area in the project summary. The keyword should be one of these: computer networks, cyber-human systems, machine learning, and operating/distributed systems. Second, all proposals should discuss the fundamental contributions to be made in the area of formal methods and the respective fields. Third, all proposals should include a detailed evaluation plan that discusses intended proof of concept, experiments in the field, scope of applicability, trade-offs, and limitations. Finally, a critical component of the FMITF program is the continuous bi-directional collaboration between the researchers in formal methods and those representing the field. Proposers are encouraged to highlight this continuous bi-directional collaboration in the work plan. There are three types of supplementary documentation required. First is the collaboration plan, which I will describe in more detail in just a moment. Next is the data management plan, This is where you're encouraged to discuss any planned release of applications, tools, languages, compilers, libraries, architectures, systems, data, and so on. And finally, there's the post-op mentoring plan, which is required in any proposal that includes funds for a post-op. Each proposal is required to have a collaboration plan as a separate supplementary document, which must describe the backgrounds and expertise of the PIs and how the PIs plan to collaborate. The plan should clearly describe the mechanisms for continued bidirectional interaction. This document will be evaluated by the panelists or reviewers as part of the proposal review process. It is up to the proposers to make the argument that they provide distinct expertise. If the collaboration plan is missing, your proposal will be returned without review. Proposals will be evaluated on the basis of the following solicitation-specific review criteria. The first review criterion, which is specific to the FMITF solicitation, is the extent to which the proposal addresses one or more of the four field areas. The next review criterion is the extent to which fundamental contributions to both formal methods and the field area are a likely outcome of this project. The final review criterion is the extent to which the collaboration plan meets the criteria identified in the solicitation. The FMITF program plans to host a PI meeting in 2020 to be held in the US. This is, of course, subject to availability of funds. All funded PIs are expected to participate in this meeting. Each award is expected to be represented by at least one PI focusing on formal methods and at least one PI focusing on a field area and their students. The budget should include costs for participation of the PIs, co-PIs, and their students. Let me now transition to a few frequently asked questions. The first question is, should I discuss my proposal with NSF program directors? Yes, we encourage you to discuss planned proposals with program directors to help determine fit to the program. We ask that you refrain from scheduling separate meetings or calls with multiple program directors. Once submitted, the substance of proposals will not be discussed by NSF program directors, as this would constitute unfair competition or the perception thereof. Please note, you do not have to talk to an NSF program director before you submit. The next question is, do FMITF proposals count against the size goal program limits or number of proposals allowed per year? No, but there is an FMITF program limit. Proposers cannot be PI, co-PI, or senior personnel on more than one FMITF proposal. The next question is security in scope for FMITF? SIFE has a long history of supporting related work in security through the Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace, or SATC, program. And while research that includes security as part of a more general effort to ensure correctness and reliability is in scope for FMITF, the focus of FMITF in FY 2018 is on formal methods in the field areas that are specifically called out in the solicitation. Research that is focused on using formal techniques to protect against specific vulnerabilities or attacks is better suited for SATC at this time. The next question is, my field area is not explicitly listed as one of the four areas. Can I still submit to FMITF? No, the FY18 FMITF solicitation restricts the field to only these four areas. We may add additional areas as needed in future solicitations subject to availability of funds. The next The next question is, on field areas like robotics, cyber-physical systems, and hardware in scope for FMITF? Not at this time. The use of formal methods in these areas is more mature than in the four field areas identified in the solicitation. Therefore, these are not in scope for FMITF and are supported by existing programs at NSF, like National Robotics Initiative 2.0, Ubiquitous Collaborative Robots, NRI 2.0, Cyber Physical Systems, CPS, and Software and Hardware Foundations, SHF. Other field areas may be added in future solicitations subject to the availability of funds. The slides and the script for this webcast, as well as an audio recording, will be available via the NSF Events webpage. I've also listed the email addresses for the program officers if you would like to follow up with a question via email. Now, I'd like to invite questions from the audience.
The phone lines are now open for questions. If you'd like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 and record your name. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press star 2. Thank you. And again, if you would like to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 and record your name. The first question in the queue is from Steven Siegel. Your line is now open.
Hi. I'm just wondering if you can give some examples of distributed systems, because that term can mean a lot of different things. For example, would that include like a computational system that is using MPI, the message passing interface, for communication? Would that be considered a distributed system?
Okay, so the question is whether we can give some examples of distributed systems and whether MPI, as an example, whether MPI would be considered as a distributed system.
Stephen, I would say that I think we're expecting you to make that case in the proposal. We are not making any boundaries here. If you think you can make the case that MPI is a distributed system and put that in your proposal, then it will be up to the panel to evaluate.
So, Stephen, and also remember that we are requiring that the proposal should have the potential to make strong advances in both the area of formal methods and in the kind of distributed systems to which the formal methods are going to be deployed.
Okay.
The next question in the queue is from Beneet Agarwal. Your line is now open.
Thanks. My question is regarding we need the specification says you need 1% for methods, 1% in fields. But if one person is using approximation algorithms in networking, then would he cover both the areas, or does he need one person who really is doing approximation algorithm in CS, even though he's already doing that in networking?
Vineet, from what I understood, you're asking the question, if one person covers approximation algorithms in networks?
Yes.
Would that person be considered to be in the field? Is that your question?
No, would that person be considered in formal methods? Because even though the publications are in networking, they are still theoretical publications. So would you consider him as a person in the as a person for formal methods?
I'm not sure. Approximation algorithms is what we meant by formal methods, Vineet. If you had some sort of formal technique, maybe we could take this one offline. Maybe you can give us some more details by sending us email.
Sure, we'll do that.
Thank you.
Next question is from Lori Datani. Your line is now open.
Hi. So when will the notification be? Will it be before the core program's deadline?
Okay, so the question is, when will the notification of FMITF be and whether it will be before the core program's deadline? We will definitely be trying for that, and we will try. Our goal is to make the awards in FY 2018, which would be hopefully before the core program deadline.
Thank you.
Next question is from Karam Sakali. Your line is now open.
Hi. Designating the formal methods PI and the field PI, can they be both computer scientists, you know, working on different areas? And what if both of them have some expertise in formal methods? Would that disqualify them?
Okay, so the question is how do we designate the formal methods and the field PI, and whether if somebody has expertise in both formal methods and the field, would such a person be disqualified? The answer is no, that such a person would not be disqualified. But of course, we, as the solicitation states, we would be looking for strong advances in both the areas of formal methods and in the application area to which the formal methods are being deployed. And as a PI or as PIs, it's your goal to make the proposal, to make that argument in the proposal.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Michael Carbon. Your line is now open.
Yes. The question I have is, what is the typical scope of the contributions that you might expect from the co-PI that's supposed to be in the field? So are you looking for, you know, deployed and used systems or perhaps startups, or can this just be an academic in one of these field categories? I don't know if you could shed any light on that, and perhaps it's really just up to us to specify this.
So the question is, what is the typical scope of the contributions of the co-PI? And what kind of target are we looking for in the field, whether they can be startups or academic contributions and so on. I think academic contributions are completely fine. If there is a possibility of startups and so on, we don't preclude that, but again, academic contributions are completely fine for this proposal.
Yes, so let me echo that point as well. So I think we're expecting to see research come out of this, both in the field and in formal methods. So, Michael, I think we are expecting to see serious research contributions here, and if there are startups, et cetera, that come out of this, that would be terrific, but I think what we're looking for is just like any other proposal, we're looking for serious research content.
Okay, that's great. Great clarification. Thank you.
The next question is from Ganesh. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Ganesh. I have two questions. One is, there is a possibility that I'll find a field person who has operating systems, distributed systems expertise, but also would want to use networking technologies in his field application. So that is combining two bullets of your field areas. Is that okay? That's the first question. If you want to answer that, I can move on to the second, or I'll state the second.
The simple answer, Ganesh, yes.
Okay, that's good. The second question is, there are two ways in which to play the field part. One is to take a bleeding edge field situation, in which case perhaps only lightweight formal methods will tend to apply. The other is what Dijkstra says, a reenactment of a done design. How do you replay a done design using heavier formal methods? Are both these kinds of approaches welcome, or is there preference for one or the other?
I think both are welcome, Ganesh. We're just looking. I mean, not every technique is going to be applicable in every situation. So we're just looking for new ideas and ambitious ideas from all of you. If that means innovations in the applied formal method space to a larger scale of problem, that's fine. And if it's the other way around, that's fine as well.
Okay, thanks.
Next question is from Chris Martins. Your line is now open.
Hi. I wanted to know whether you would recommend that we get in touch with our with the program officer, both in formal methods and in the application field, with our ideas, or if we just because you said not to mention or not to send things to multiple officers. So I wanted to know how you would suggest we approach that.
And you want to take some?
I mean, I think it would be UCS. This is Dan Cosley, and I'm in the Cyber Human Systems part. I think it would be I can't speak to what formal methods would see as contributions as a Cyber Human Systems person mostly, so probably you would have to get some feedback from that side as well as from the domain side. So what we don't want to do is send it to everybody on the team, which people will sometimes do. Right? Find someone who's strong in formal methods and find your domain contact, and that's probably the best way to handle this.
So I think Anindya's last slide, Chris, has a list of program officers and their areas. So I would contact one person in formal methods. It's one of Anindya, myself, or Saul, or contact Dan Cosley for cyber human systems, Darlene Fisher for networks, Wen Keen for machine learning, and Sami Khan for the operating/distributed system.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Mohammed Rahman. Your line is now open. Mohammed, if you're there, your line might be muted on your end, but it is open.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
Yes, yeah. So my question was, I would like to target the wireless HART and similar LP1 protocols in my proposal. I was wondering whether they will be considered within the cyber-physical system area, because usually these protocols are used for IoT-related things.
We don't have a cyber-physical systems area. We have a cyber-human systems area.
No, no. I am wondering if these things fall into computer networks. This is into networking field.
Darlene? I didn't really hear what the question was. Could you repeat it?
Okay, I can repeat that. So I would like to target wireless HART protocol, or you know that those protocols like LP1, low power, wide area network. So I would like to use formal methods for some security and resiliency verification for them. I'm just wondering whether that will be considered for, because this falls into computer networks in this field, but I just want to be sure, like, whether you will think it is it within cyber-physical system.
Well, if it doesn't have, I don't think it's cyber-physical systems unless I misunderstand the question. So could you email me the exact question, because I'd hear about every other word.
Okay, I think that the line is not good at my side. Okay, no problem. So I will email you.
If you will, I will definitely get back to you. So, yes.
Yeah, I will email you. Sure. Thank you.
To just add to Darlene's answer, I just wanted to mention the solicitation. So the general goal in the computer networks area is to explore the use of formal methods to create high-confidence networks. So whatever protocol you're using, if using formal methods with that protocol is going to be useful for creating high-confidence networks, that that should be in scope, but of course, please feel free to email Darlene directly so that she can answer your question.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Mr. Parisi. Your line is now open.
Hi there. I was just wondering, how would you encourage cross-cutting area one component, for instance, from the networking area, and probably one component from
I'm sorry, your connection is cutting out so badly. We actually can't hear the question here. We heard cross-cutting area, and that's about it.
Networking and cyber human systems.
Okay, let me repeat. You didn't hear it. So, you know, my question is, how would you encourage cross-cutting area in the fields, like application of formal methods in networking plus other three fields? So, would that be something, welcome in this type of proposal?
I mean, at a high level, we had another question, which was, hey, I'm looking at something that spans computer networks and distributed systems, maybe. Is that okay? And the answer to that was yes, right? But this is at a, right now, this is at a level of abstraction that's really hard to answer the question, right? The other thing I would say about this is, you know, the bigger the scope, the harder it is to sort of say, hey, how are you contributing to all the different parts of the field that you're targeting? Right, so you want to think carefully about defining that in a way that's going to be sensible to folks.
Basically, that's the nature of the problem solving. It's called for that type. It's not like that we are fancy about, you know, spreading the application to various area. It's just the nature of the project calling for that. So, would that be plausible enough if you make that argument in the proposal?
Yes, absolutely. So this is Semifan. Absolutely. If the problem requires you to present a very holistic system point of view, and then you want to make sure that your contributions are both in the formal method and in the field of your choosing, there could be multiple of them, please feel free to propose such research and make your case to the eventual panel.
Thank you.
But focusing on pieces of the field that are called out in the solicitation.
Thanks, sir.
Next question is from Vaidyanatha. Your line is now open.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My question is, you specifically excluded robotics. But I'm, you know, we are considering in the direction of robot swarms, mostly as abstractions of robots. There is not much hardware involved, but that might be the field side of things. But the formal methods are in terms of coordinating those robots in the swarm with respect to, you know, self-stability and all other ideas. But the field aspect might include some elements of trying to pull that off. Would that be okay?
So this is Wenqing Wong here. I think the key thing that we're looking for is we're looking for contributions, scientific contributions, in formal methods, and also on the algorithmic side in machine learning. So if your proposal involves the algorithmic side of machine learning, then it would be within scope.
This may not even involve machine learning. I mean, we could consider really small robots. It could, I guess it could potentially include machine learning, but it could be in terms of coordination, in terms of navigation, in terms of resiliency, et cetera. Would that apply as a distributed system?
So I think this is Semihan. So I think if I'm comprehending it correctly, I think I would classify this as at a little higher abstraction level and at the level of an application. So a similar equivalent example for that would be transportation, where you're coordinating vehicles, and I would really classify that as not a preferred trust to go forward. Now, if your contributions are specifically in certain protocols,
that would bring together a system that is of distributed nature, then I would classify that as a yes.
Okay, I understand the distinction. Thank you.
Right.
Next question is from Rupsha Samanta. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Hi. I wanted to understand the extent to which you require novel formal methods to be contributed as opposed to novel applications of formal methods to the field.
Okay, so... right. So let's see. So the field is one of the four areas, and what we are expecting in this collaboration between formal methods and one of these field areas is that there be contributions in both directions. That is, the contribution to formal methods as well as contributions to one of these, whichever field area you choose. So, for example, as the solicitation states, that if you were to choose something like machine learning, then exploration of new formal methods can be used to characterize boundaries of behavior and may bring much-needed rigor to machine learning algorithms and applications.
So, can I add to that, Sarupsha? I understand your question properly. I think if you just took an off-the-shelf technique and applied it in a brand new domain and you did it in a unidirectional way, then that would not be a strong proposal. On the other hand, if you did that and the field and applying it in this new domain then fed back into you refining these techniques, then I think that would be a much stronger proposal.
Got it. Thanks.
Next question is from Shan Liu. Your line is now open.
Hi. I noticed that the slide mentioned that a CPS is not, and I'm just wondering, like for cyber-human programs, suppose we're talking about like the end-user programming, program some smart device, does this count as CPS or cyber-human program?
I guess you should think about where the contributions really are. If the contributions are about the understanding of the interplay of humans and the technology and the design of systems that humans are actually using to interact with and program these systems, that sounds more like cyber-human systems to me. If it's mostly sort of, you know, protocols for managing data and organizing these devices and there's not actual sort of serious attention to the human aspect of it, then it's going to look a lot more like cyber-physical systems and be out of scope. That's my initial read as, you know, the cyber-human systems person. It's usually easier to give specific calls when you send the one-pager with a little more detail about the idea. But on balance, cyber-human systems actually really wants attention to the human part of the system.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Gul Aga. Your line is now open.
I think basically it was addressed earlier. There are, of course, things that cut across various areas. And as I understand it, it basically would then be up to the panels to sort of figure out if they're making, if there are people covering the expertise and across the areas for cross-cutting stuff.
Yeah, that's right, Cool. So did the previous answers answer your question, or did you want to poke a little bit further at certain aspects?
So, you know, the distinctions between formal methods and programming languages, especially when you get close to applications, for example, are can be small. And then, of course, there are individuals cutting across these boundaries in their work. So... So I guess you're not doing an a priori screening. So is it sort of more judging the expertise to do the proposal and the proposal's impact on the two fields as opposed to where the PIs are coming from? I mean, the call is sort of where the PIs are coming from and what community they're judged to be in. but in some sense the intent is really how it's justified that it's contributing to the fields and to the formal methods of including programming languages, for example.
Yeah. So defining formal methods very broadly as principled approaches based on mathematics and logic, and this includes many things, as we mentioned in the slides, and it would include specification design, analysis, verification, synthesis, and programming language based approaches. So, yes, it would include programming languages in its purview.
And can I just also add to that? So, we're not going to return things without review based on expertise of the PI who. I think if you're going to leave it up to you to make that case in the collaboration plan, and all we require is that you have one representative from the field and one from formal methods. And we leave it up to you to make that case for the proposal and for the team in the collaboration plan.
Right. So, I mean, it's possible so that people on either side are actually crossing boundaries to some extent.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Next question is from Saptarshi Debroy. Your line is now open.
Hi. I have two questions. So my first question is regarding security. So as you said, security is not specifically targeted in this program, but a project like secure trust-based protocol design for vehicular networks, is that out of scope or will that be considered in scope?
Again, if you're not referring to specific threats or specific vulnerabilities, but you're talking about a general sort of design methodology for protocols, which includes security, then it's absolutely in scope. I'll let Darlene add to that.
No, I think that's true.
Okay, thank you. And the second question, I think part of it is already answered, is about the contribution in both formal method and the field. So I think my question was very related to one of the last questions. That is an application of a formal method in a specific field where it is not being applied before will be considered novel contribution?
As I answered to Rupsha's question before, if it's just taking off-the-shelf techniques and applying them in a new area, I don't think that will be received as well in panel as if there's sort of a reverse direction and a continuous collaboration where you are going to also take that technique and improve it based on what you've learned in the field.
Thank you very much.
Next question is from Abul Razi. Your line is now open.
Hello. Thank you for taking questions. This is Abul. My question, actually, you kind of addressed it, but I'm wondering how broad or specific the field you would expect to be. And my second question, if you say a few words about the networking, does it cover, actually, you kind of addressed it, so does it cover like if we are doing using some machine learning, developing new machine learning techniques for, let's say, UAV networks for a specific application like forest monitoring, would it be considered in the field or it is too specific?
So go back to the fact that the networking part is to create high confidence networks. So if there's something about high confidence, security, reliability of that ilk, then if you're contributing both to the formal methods and to networks in that way, then I would say it was.
And likewise, for the machine learning part, if there's some kind of algorithmic contribution on the machine learning side, then you can check that box up as providing scientific contributions in the field.
Okay, thank you. So just a follow-up question on that. So can the field be intersection of these fields like machine learning and networking together, or should be specific to one of these fields?
Now, you can check as many fields as you want, but as Dan correctly said, you need to make the case for your contributions in each of those fields. And if you can do that successfully, that's fine, that's great, but you can choose as many of these fields as you want. Of these
okay,
four.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next question is from Jason Liu. Your line is now open.
Hi. This is Jason. Thanks for taking my call. I have two questions, actually. The second question, depending on the answer of the first one. So my first question is, can the formal methods be sort of generally referred to theoretical approaches like the game theories, contract theories?
Game theory and what?
Contract
theory. We are not restricting formal methods to particular theories. I mean, as long as you can. I mean, we are defining it very broadly as principled approaches based on mathematics and logic, and includes many things. If you can use game theory and contract theory for a particular application and the reverse also, that you are going to make some contributions in the formal methods that you're going to develop, that's fine.
That's great. So my second question is related to this distributed operating systems. Is a high-performance computing system can be referred to as a distributed operating system?
I mean, this kind of came up in Stephen's thing about MPI. Again, you could make the case, but I'm going to let Sammy handle this one. Sammy is our HPC system.
Well, so again, it would depend if at the end of the day, they're all distributed systems, right? So you can broadly classify them, and of course, they would have some very specialized operating system middleware running on it. So with that angle, yes, you can certainly do that. But again, I would ask the question, well, that would become very, very narrow, right? So in high-performance computing, we are specifically looking at throughput and pretty much nothing else, right? And in distributed system, where we have specifically called that out, that is one aspect and not the aspect, right? There's energy also there. There is resiliency, reliability, and so on and so forth. So if you stick to the general terms of resiliency, reliability, latency, responsiveness, throughput, which are fundamental to distributed systems, I think that would be much better for you to present the case to the panel.
Okay. So as a matter of fact, I'm thinking about actually the energy consumption. So I guess that's the sort of like a general attribute to these systems.
Yes, it's up to you what you consider general or not.
Yes, but again, there should be a connection with formal methods, because if it's just energy consumption for high-performance computing systems, then, of course, there is the SPX program, there is the CORE program and Software and Hardware Foundations. So there are other programs where you could also pitch the proposal. So it's your... You should be making the case that there are contributions to be made in formal methods as well as the kind of distributed system you're considering.
Right. So again, piggybacking on what he answered, the way to look at how it would best fit this particular program is, what is the unique angle that we are providing? So we call out four areas. So if your research or your collaborative research falls under that, That's one checkbox. The other checkbox is contributions in formal methods. So there are two checkboxes, and there's an and associated with it. So if you take a step back and put your research in that perspective, then certainly this is the program that really should apply. supply. And if one of these two checkboxes are vaguely filled, then I would strongly encourage you to look at programs that the foundation offers elsewhere.
Got it. All right. Thanks.
Next question is from Pasad Sisla. Your line is now open. Pasad, if you're there, your line is now open.
Hi. Sorry. Actually, I have one question. Basically, for example, natural language processing and related areas, they all fall under the cyber human systems, is it not?
No, natural language processing is not a cyber human system.
It could fall under machine learning.
Okay.
Or you could have a cyber human system where natural language processing was an important component of it.
Right, okay. So, but somebody, if we do, for example, so natural language processing or related areas, that would form, it will be appropriate here.
It's hard to say because you're saying a very broad thing about natural language processing, which doesn't directly by itself look like any of the four areas that are in this solicitation, right? So what I would advise is a couple things. One is to be clearer about the specific fit to the specific areas in the solicitation, and two, you know, to probably write up the one pager and send it to the person who's in charge of the area closest to it to better understand what you mean when you say natural language processing is a cyber human system.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. That's good. Thanks.
Next question is from Abu. Your line is now open.
Hello, my name is Abu Asaduzzaman. Do you hear me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I have my colleague. I am from computer engineering background, and my colleague is from math background. We were thinking about the proposal on distributed systems and obviously applying some formal methods. So on the distributed system side, I think we know what we will be doing, but from formal method side, we are still not sure what will be considered as innovative or, you know, so my colleague will probably tell you more.
Yeah, so we look for something like optimization or something to prove mathematically. Can you make it more clear?
We are looking for correctness and reliability guarantee. Optimization is really not in scope.
So in another word, if we prove from computer engineering background, we develop different model. Sometimes we simulate, sometimes we have the real system. That's how we kind of evaluate our system. But when we bring formal method, then you are expecting that we are going to apply that technique to prove the correctness of the distributed system, or?
Yes, so either model, specify, prove, design, anything of that sort, but we are looking for actual correctness guarantees here.
So how do we, we are going to, probably this is not very appropriate question, but I don't know how to ask this question. How do we apply formal method into distributed system domain?
I think we should take this offline. I think we're getting a little detailed. There's a lot of conferences devoted entirely to this topic.
Right. Also, this is a little bit of a specific question, so we're going to try to avoid answering any specific questions because then we have to, in the fairness, we have to answer all specific questions. It could be a multitude of that coming in. So is that okay if you take it offline? You can certainly send me an email or Nina or for that matter anybody else, and we can schedule a phone call with you or whatever that's
Sure. Fair enough. Thank you.
Next question is from Andua Wong. Your line is now open.
Hello. Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I have a quick question. So I'm interested in using logic-based methods in networking, and I'm wondering, could you comment on the requirement of validation plan for this program, say, compared to other core, say, networking proposal?
Validation plan. I don't know the formal methods part. I can't answer that part. So I could answer that.
Since we're having a little trouble hearing you, Angela, let me try to see if we understand your question correctly. You wanted to know what's the difference or what expectations we have on the validation plan in formal methods in the field versus what we currently have in the core?
Yes, especially as I compare it to a system, a proposal.
Right, so maybe I can answer it. So in the core solicitation, I think this validation plan is strongly, let me not say encouraged, it's actually pretty much required for any systems proposal, especially for CSR, because you want to see empirical evidence of what you're proposing. In this particular solicitation, the emphasis is, again, on the contributions to the field, but with the caveat that you have to have contributions in formal methods. Now, given this unique interface between these two domains, if it requires that you need to have a subsequent valuation or validation through the system, that it imperatively performs as good as your formal method technique does, then sure, yes.
Okay.
Well, given that we're looking at high confidence networks, I think you have to have some experimental basis for evaluating whether or not you've actually created something that has more high confidence than if you hadn't focused on that. But in turn, I don't know how you validate the formal methods part as applied to a. I don't know what you do with the formal methods, but you need to address that.
So I think if you have just repeat what Darlene and Sammy said. So if you're talking about a prototype or you're talking about actually measuring some sort of performance or correctness or anything of that sort, then you should follow what is in the CSR and NEMS in terms of a validation plan. On the formal method side, it could be mainly theoretical and the contributions will be measured differently. So I would say use whatever metric you think is best and talk about that in the proposal. We don't really have any specifications or anything like that for the validation plan. Right? Make sense, Darlene?
Does that sufficiently answer your question? Do you have a follow-up question?
This is the operator. She dropped off the line. The next question in the queue is from Steven Siegel. Your line is now open.
Hi. I'm just wondering what the problem is in machine learning that we need formal methods to solve. I just mean that it seems like the field is very successful and it's made a lot of progress, but is there a perception that there's something wrong with it, that maybe the machine learning algorithms have bugs or implementations of those algorithms have bugs and those could be detected with formal methods? What exactly is the problem that we need to solve?
Yeah, so you've hit on that. While machine learning has been very successful, there's been a huge amount of interest recently on trying to make the predictions of machine learning explainable in some way, and that sort of hints at something more, like looking at correctness of machine learning algorithms and also issues related to safety and fairness. So even though the field's been very successful, there's still some very big questions that are out there.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Rupsha Samanta. Your line is now open.
Hi, quick question. Are you planning to give two awards to each area? I'm just trying.
No, Rupsha, we haven't. We're going to fund the best proposals we get, and we're not going to cordon off funds in that manner.
Okay, thanks.
Next question is from Kevin Xu. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I had sent an email to Dr. Lina Alma earlier. I didn't get a clear answer. I try to know specifically whether or not my research in the scope We have a programming language or a database that is a new thing. It's described in nominal calculus and also in the computability. It proved that this language is the abstraction to both database and programming language. Plus, it's also its operating system, means that it can hide the detail of what we are doing as a programmer or developer. And as a result, it can be, it can be a unification or it's a single system to be an operating system. It's basically a single platform for a database and programming language and also operating system. And also network detail.
I think you're probably getting a little bit into the weeds here. So I'm going to basically say that Lambda Calculus approach for databases as part of the operating and distributed systems area is a. You'll have to make a strong case that is
yeah.
generalizable.
I can send you an email again, but I'm just saying this. This is the abstraction. To be a listener to approve
okay.
the operating system as well. That's what it is, yeah.
Sammy, anything to add here?
Right, so I think it would be good if you, rather than sending to Nina, you can send me the inquiry. I think my email is in the solicitation, so you can look that up, and I'll be happy to answer any questions of or related to distributed systems or operating systems.
Could you see that again? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I was saying rather than sending the inquiry to Nina Amla, you can send it to me, and I'll take care of your...
Okay, so sure, I'll send you an email again. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Next question is from Athena Marcopolo. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thanks for the webinar. Regarding the formal methods, are algorithms explicitly out of scope for this call? In particular, if I want to work, my area is networking. If I want to work with a CS theory person on notions of differential privacy, is this out of scope for the formal methods?
I think so. Yeah, we have so many programs supporting this area. We also have algorithms in the field. I don't think differential privacy in the networking space is really formal methods.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, last question.
Last question is from Subhash Shankar. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you for the webinar. I was wondering about the issues you raised about novelty. If we were to use an existing formal technique, but customized to the field area, because many formal techniques are very specific. The are very parameterizable and very specific to problems. Would that count as normal? Would that count as novel if it's customized to the field area, or adapted? It might be a better word.
Right. So, I mean, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for bidirectional and continuous sort of interactions. So, if you take something existing and you make it better and more generally applicable or faster or whatever it is, but you actually refine the formal technique, I think that's absolutely in scope.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So, that brings us to the conclusion of today's webinar. The slides and the script for this webcast, as well as an audio recording, will be available via the NSF Events webpage. The URL is shown. Thank you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.